And one of our favorite recent reads is out in paperback. Donnelly's novel, The Collective, looks at the assumptions faced by Asian Americans at the workplace and in their daily lives. In The Collective, three Asian Americans, Eric, Joshua, and Jessica, all meet at a small liberal arts college in Minnesota in 1988. Eric, an aspiring author, Jessica, an artist, Joshua, a writer, challenging others to see the racism around them. They meet up years later in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where they form a large support group, the Asian American Artists Collective.
I felt a remarkable accord with this group, indeed, as if we were brethren and sistren, a family. No one questioned my origins. No one needed lessons on how to use chopsticks. There was something to be said, I had to concede, for sticking to your own kind.
Don Lee, reading from The Collective, which won the 2013 Asian Pacific American Award for Literature. We spoke with Don when the book first came out. Start with this idea that, you know, all three of your characters are considered Asian American by others looking at them, but in fact they are very different.
Yeah, it's a strange and really broad rubric, especially these days when you include South Asians, Indians, and Pakistanis as well. It's an odd category, and I think that it's one that's probably too broad.
We'll stay with the East Asians. Eric is third-generation Korean-American. He grew up in Mission Viejo, California. Asian is commonplace. He thinks of himself as American as anyone else. Joshua was abandoned at a Korean orphanage. He's adopted by well-to-do, bright Cambridge, Massachusetts intellectuals, and we can see immediately he feels sort of a disconnect from them. Jessica is second-generation Taiwanese, raised in upstate New York. Her parents want her to be a doctor. She wants to be an artist. So each of them have some similarities in the way the world sees them, but many differences in who they are.
I think that it's probably something that most people who aren't Asian American don't really recognize in terms of generational differences. I'm third generation Korean American and mostly from California, although my father was in the State Department, so I bounced around a lot overseas as a kid. But really, I didn't think about my ethnicity until I moved to Boston back in 1984 to attend graduate school at Emerson College. And it was only here that my questions about identity really arose, because here it seemed that there was that kind of segregation in terms of race. People actually did say things to me. I had these encounters that were shocking to me.
Like what?
Just walking through a crowd of people, there was a bunch of guys there, and one of them said to me, directly to my face, he said, "Did you know it's National Hate Chinese Week?"
Oh,
you know, things like that happened. And coming from California, where you have so many Asian Americans, you know, I never expected that.
Well, but so that goes to some of the racism that the characters see and feel. But what about who gets to write about race? Early on when they're in this school in Minnesota, Joshua, in a writing class, excoriates a young white woman because she wrote a story based in China. He says it's maudlin, lugubrious, exploitative piece of tripe. But Eric, who's, you know, more like you, third generation, is actually thinking, wow, that's really well written.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't she write that? And Joshua says, you can't write about the Asian experience unless you are Asian. In fact, he calls Hemingway and O'Connor racist.
You know, I think that issue of cultural appropriation in terms of writing is very interesting. It's one that's heatedly debated. Here, I'm really more interested in what's happening within Asian American writers and artists. And I think that, you know, we're going through this transitional period, and we're all asking ourselves several questions. You know, if you're an Asian American writer, do you always have to have race as your subject? Do you have to have
That's the flip side of, should anyone else write about it? And should Asians only write about it?
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know, do you have to have all your characters Asian American? If you don't, is that race betrayal? And if you keep on doing that, are you limiting yourself? Are you ghettoizing yourself and your audience, or even perpetuating stereotypes? And so these are, you know, the arguments that they have within the collective here.
Well, and as you said, authors are having, and you're right in the middle of it, because you're writing a book that's filled with Asian American characters. So are you choosing that? Is that your answer, that you think that is what you should do?
From a personal point of view, I think that we should be able to do anything that we want to. And actually, I think that carries through as well to white writers. If they want to write from a different race's point of view, that's fine with me too. I've written stories about a chair maker, a sculptor. I am not a chair maker or a sculptor, but I believe that if I do enough research and am true to those characters, and then I have a right to do that. And so why can't that extend across other boundaries as well? But, you know, I think that there are many people who would adamantly disagree with that.
So you take us into this mindset, and yet what are you saying in the end? Now, we have to be careful here. We don't want to give anything away, but this sort of force that this group becomes, let's just say it dissipates.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you saying in the end about the attempts of these young Asian Americans to sort of to raise awareness about the racism that they feel, to make some sort of a change? What are you saying?
First, I'm exploring the whole issue of friendships, and that's primarily how I went into this book. I was just thinking about how friendships, they form and they wane. Then when you think back on your life and you think there was a particular group that you were very close to and you really believed at the time, we are going to be friends forever. You couldn't imagine that it'd ever break apart. But inevitably, these groups do. And then you go on to another group. And it makes you feel, when you think back on them, you're sort of inspired and enlivened by the camaraderie that you have, but you also are sad that they faded away. And so that's the first thing. But then eventually what I'm looking at here is I'm leaving the reader hopefully with some questions, which is this a good thing to do, that if you're basing these relationships on race, or should you be trying to transcend that?
There are so many different avenues you go down. I just want to touch on one last one that will affect a lot of people, I'm imagining. Joshua, you'd have to say the most troubled character, is adopted.
Mm-hmm.
What are you saying about parents who are white adopting Asian children?
You know, I know several people who were adopted by white parents, and I am not going to say that it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I will say that they have real problems in trying to secure some sort of identity for themselves.
Well, and by the way, you add another wrinkle, which is that Joshua goes back. Joshua, this fierce defender of his Asian background, goes back to mm-hmm. Korea, where he doesn't fit in. And people tell him, you know, people disdain him, tell him he doesn't speak Korean well enough. He gets sort of the reverse racism that he feels in the U.S. So in both countries, he's feeling it.
Yeah, he goes back and he's not Korean enough. And, you know, I've also, my friends have had that experience as well.
Yeah. Well, that's Don Lee. He takes us fully into the Asian American experience, those of us not already living it, in his book, The Collective. Don, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And from NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Chipotle Mexican Grill, committed to the respect of animals, farmers, and the environment. Local sourcing and menu information at chipotle.com.